The 72nd plenary meeting of the General Assembly is resumed. The Assembly will now resume its consideration of the report of the second committee on sub-item B of agenda item 19, entitled Follow-up to and Implementation of the Mauritius Strategy for the Implementation of the Programme of Action for the Sustainable Development of Small Island Developing States, Document A/68/438, Addendum 2. In order to take action on the draft resolution recommended by the second committee in paragraph 9 of its report. The report of the fifth committee on the program budget implications of the draft resolution is contained in document A/68/679. The Assembly will now take a decision on the draft resolution. The second committee adopted the draft resolution. May I take it that the Assembly wishes to do likewise? It is so decided. The General Assembly has thus concluded this stage of its consideration of sub-item B of agenda item 19. The Assembly will now resume its consideration of the report of the second committee on agenda item 20, entitled Implementation of the Outcome of the United Nations Conference on Human Settlements, Habitat 2, and Strengthening of the United Nations Human Settlements Program, UN Habitat, contained in document A/68/439, to take action on a draft resolution recommended by the second committee in paragraph 12 of its report. The report of the fifth committee on the program budget implications of the draft resolution is contained in document A/68/678. We will now take a decision on the draft resolution. The second committee adopted the draft resolution. May I take it that the Assembly wishes to do the same? It is so decided. May I take it that it is the wish of the General Assembly to conclude its consideration of agenda item 20? It is so decided. The Assembly will resume its consideration of the report of the third committee on sub-item A of agenda item 69, entitled Implementation of Human Rights Instruments, contained in document A/68/456, addendum 1. In order to take action on draft resolution 1, recommended by the third committee in paragraph 20, of its report. The report of the fifth committee on program budget implications of draft resolution 1 is contained in document A/68/675. We will now take a decision on draft resolution 1, entitled Human Rights Committee. The third committee adopted draft resolution 1. May I take it that the Assembly wishes to do the same? It is so decided. May I take it that it is the wish of the General Assembly to conclude its consideration of sub-item A of agenda item 69? It is so decided. The Assembly will resume its consideration of the report of the Third Committee on sub-item B of Agenda Item 69, entitled Human Rights Questions, including alternative approaches for improving the effective enjoyment of human rights and fundamental freedoms, contained in Document A/68/456, Addendum 2, in order to take action on draft Resolution 17, recommended by the Third Committee in paragraph 146 of its report. The report of the Fifth Committee on the Program Budget Implications of Draft Resolution 17 is contained in Document A/68/677. We will now take a decision on Draft Resolution 17, entitled United Nations Human Rights Training and Documentation Center for Southwest Asia and Arab Region. A recorded vote has been requested. Those in favor of Draft Resolution 17, please signify. Against, abstentions.
The Assembly is now voting on Draft Resolution 17, entitled United Nations Human Rights Training and Documentation Center for Southwest Asia and the Arab Region, as recommended in Document A/68/456/Addendum 2. Will all delegations kindly confirm that their votes are accurately reflected on the screen? Go ahead. The voting has been completed, the machine is locked.
The result of the vote is as follows. In favor, 132. Against, 1. Abstention, 1. Draft Resolution 17 is adopted. May I take it that it is the wish of the General Assembly to conclude its consideration of sub-item B of Agenda Item 69? It is so decided. The Assembly will resume its consideration of the report of the Third Committee on sub-item C of Agenda Item 69, entitled Human Rights Situations and Reports of Special Rapporteurs and Representatives, contained in Document A/68/456, Addendum 3, in order to take action on Draft Resolution 2, recommended by the Third Committee in paragraph 27 of its report. The report of the Fifth Committee on the Program Budget Implications of Draft Resolution 2 is contained in Document A/68/676. We will now take a decision on Draft Resolution 2, entitled Situation of Human Rights in Myanmar. The Third Committee adopted Draft Resolution 2. May I take it that the Assembly wishes to do the same? It is so decided. May I take it that it is the wish of the General Assembly to conclude its consideration of sub-item C of Agenda Item 69 and of Agenda Item 69 as a whole? It is so decided. The Assembly will resume its consideration of the report of the First Committee on Agenda Item 94, entitled Developments in the Field of Information and Telecommunications in the Context of International Security, contained in Document A/68/406, to take action on a draft resolution recommended by the First Committee in paragraph 8 of its report. The report of the First Committee on the Fifth Committee on the Program Budget Implications of the Draft Resolution is contained in Document A/68/674. We will now take a decision on the draft resolution. The First Committee adopted the draft resolution without a vote. May I take it that the Assembly wishes to do likewise? It is so decided. May I take it that it is the wish of the General Assembly to conclude its consideration of Agenda Item 94? It is so decided. There has been a request for an explanation of vote, the delegation of Papua New Guinea on Agenda Item 19B.
Thank you, Mr. President. On behalf of the Pacific Small Island Developing States and on my own delegation's behalf, I wish to present our position on Agenda Item 19B on the report of the Second Committee titled A/68/438/Addendum 2 on Sustainable Development, follow-up to an implementation of the Mauritius Strategy for further implementation of the Program of Action for Sustainable Development of Small Island Developing States, and the Fifth Committee decision on the same for the Program Budget Implications of Resolution A/C2/68/L67, which will be adopted, I assume, shortly. Mr. President, we have joint consensus for the following rationale. As we embark on the road to Samoa in September 2014 for the third International Conference on Small Island Developing States and beyond, commencing with the first SIDS Preparatory Conference on 24 February 2014, which coincides with the launch of the SIDS 2014 International Year. We recognize that as SIDS, we have made measured progress in achieving the internationally agreed development goals, including the Barbados Program of Action, the Mauritius Strategy of Implementation, Agenda 21, Johannesburg Plan of Implementation, and of course the Millennium Development Goals. However, much more remains to be done. Mr. President, we are cognizant of the opportunities, challenges, and vulnerabilities that we continue to face, especially in the evolving global economic and financial, along with the adverse impacts of climate change, as well as our respective national constraints in the post-2015 development agenda. However, we are equally determined to take ownership and leadership of our future sustainable development pathway. This was aptly demonstrated again by our collective regional and inter-regional efforts in Jamaica, Fiji, Seychelles and Barbados in July and August 2013 respectively, where we identified, agreed and articulated our key sustainable development priorities now and for the years ahead. We recognize that in certain areas we will continue to require durable and genuine partnership and cooperation from our development partners in the global north and south and trilaterally to complement and support our national development efforts. This is why we are continuing to reach out to our partners as important stakeholders. Mr. President, it is in this context that we thank the three SIDS regions of AIMS, CARICOM and the Pacific for their mutual understanding, trust, cooperation and partnership, as well as for the ownership, leadership and as architects of the SIDS priorities in our sustainable development agenda for now and in the future. Our commendation is also extended to the Group of 77 and China for the support and encouragement under the principle of common but differentiated responsibilities in our pursuit for a transformative sustainable development agenda that will bring about pragmatic, durable and resilient solutions to SIDS, communities and people's lives and livelihoods. We also acknowledge and thank our partners, including the United States, European Union, Japan, Australia and New Zealand, for their openness, flexibility and understanding of our sustainable development challenges and needs. We welcome our partners' willingness, support and commitment for the PBI for the SIDS modalities resolution. We remain committed and therefore pledge to work with all stakeholders to ensure that the outcome of the Samoa Conference builds on the solid foundation laid by the BPOI and the MSI and galvanize support for SIDS in the remaining lifespan of the MDGs and for the post-2015 development agenda. In closing, Mr. President, we would also applaud and thank the rapporteur of the Second Committee, New Zealand, and also the lead negotiators and co-facilitators, and similarly to the Fifth Committee for the satisfactory level of cooperation and partnership in ensuring a consensus resolution is reached. I thank you.
The General Assembly will now consider reports of the Fifth Committee on agenda items 132 to 134, 136 to 139, 141, 143 to 146, 148, 158, and 159A. I request the Rapporteur of the Fifth Committee, Mr. Ken Sia of Singapore, to introduce in one intervention the reports of the Fifth Committee before the Assembly. Rapporteur.
Sorry about that. Mr. President, distinguished delegates, I have the honour to present the reports of the Fifth Committee. The Fifth Committee met from 3rd October to 27 December 2013, holding 26 plenary meetings and numerous informal consultations. The Committee's reports on the following were already considered by the General Assembly at its 32nd, 52nd and 59th plenary meetings. Agenda item 138, scale of assessments for the apportionment of the expenses of the UN, specifically on Article 19. Agenda item 116, appointments to fill vacancies in subsidiary organs and other appointments. Agenda item 131, financial reports and audited financial statements and reports of the Board of Auditors. Agenda item 135, program planning. And agenda items 142 and 132, report on the activities of the Office of Internal Oversight Services and review of the efficiency of the administrative and financial functioning of the UN. Mr. President, I now present additional reports of the Fifth Committee on the following. On agenda item 137, pattern of conferences, the committee recommends to the General Assembly in paragraph 6 of its report A/68/673, the adoption of a draft decision adopted by the committee without a vote. On agenda item 138, scale of assessments for the apportionment of the expenses of the UN, the committee recommends to the General Assembly in paragraph 6 of its report A/68/504, addendum 1, the adoption of a draft decision adopted by the committee without a vote. On agenda item 139, human resources management, the committee recommends to the General Assembly in paragraph 6 of its report A/68/690, the adoption of a draft resolution adopted by the committee without a vote. On agenda item 141, United Nations Common System, the committee recommends to the General Assembly in paragraph 7 of its report A/68/684, the adoption of a draft resolution adopted by the committee without a vote. On the agenda item 143, Administration of Justice at the UN, the committee recommends to the General Assembly in paragraph 6 of its report A/68/670, the adoption of a draft resolution adopted by the committee without a vote. On agenda items 144, financing of the International Criminal Tribunal for Rwanda, 145, financing of the International Tribunal for the former Yugoslavia, and 146, financing of the International Residual Mechanism for Criminal Tribunals. The committee in paragraph 6 of the reports contained in documents A/68/681, A/68/682, and A/68/683, we recommend to the General Assembly the adoption of the related draft resolutions adopted by the committee without a vote. Mr. President, all draft resolutions on the financing of peacekeeping operations were adopted by the committee without a vote. The reports of the Fifth Committee are presented under the following agenda items. 147, financing of the UN Interim Security Force for RBA, contained in document A/68/672. 158, financing of the UN Multidimensional Integrated Stabilization Mission in Mali, contained in document A/68/680. And 159, financing of the UN Peacekeeping Forces in the Middle East, sub-item A, UN Disengagement Observer Force, contained in document A/68/671. On agenda item 133, program budget for the biennium 2012-2013, the committee in paragraph 8 of its report, contained in document A/68/688, recommends to the General Assembly the adoption of two draft resolutions adopted by the committee without a vote. On agenda item 134, proposed program budget for the biennium 2014-2015, in paragraph 34 of document A/68/689, the committee considered five draft resolutions. In draft resolution 1, the committee adopted the draft resolution on questions related to the proposed program budget for the biennium 2014-2015 without a vote. In draft resolution 2, special subjects relating to the proposed program budget for the biennium 2014-2015, a recorded vote was requested on section 6. The committee voted to retain section 6 of draft resolution 2, and the draft resolution as a whole was adopted without a vote. The committee adopted draft resolutions 3 on financing, 4 on unforeseen and extraordinary expenses, and 5 on the working capital fund of the proposed program budget biennium 2014-2015 without a vote. The committee also recommended the adoption of 6 statements of program budget implications. The relevant reports of the committee are issued in documents A/68/674 to A/68/679. On agenda item 132, review of the efficiency of the administrative and financial functioning of the UN, the committee recommends to the General Assembly in paragraph 6 of its report A/68/691 the adoption of the draft decision on questions deferred for future consideration, which was adopted by the committee without a vote. I thank delegations for their cooperation and assure them that changes made during the Fifth Committee's 26th formal meeting will be reflected in the draft resolutions and reports which will be issued shortly. I thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the Rapporteur of the Fifth Committee. Before proceeding further, I would like to emphasize to delegates that as the Fifth Committee has just finished its work, the reports are available only in English. I have been informed that they will be issued in all languages as soon as possible. I thank you for your understanding. If there is no proposal under Rule 66 of the Rules of Procedure, I shall take it that the General Assembly decides not to discuss the reports of the Fifth Committee, which are before the Assembly today. It is so decided. Statements will therefore be limited to explanations of vote. The position of delegations regarding the recommendations of the Fifth Committee have been made clear in the committee and are reflected in the relevant official records. May I remind members that under paragraph 7 of decision 34/401, the General Assembly agreed that when the same draft resolution is considered in the main committee and in plenary meeting, a delegation should, as far as possible, explain its vote only once, that is, either in the committee or in plenary meeting, unless that delegation's vote in plenary meeting is different from its vote in the committee. May I remind delegations that, also in accordance with General Assembly Decision 34/401, explanations of vote are limited to 10 minutes and should be made by delegations from their seats. Before we begin to take action on the recommendations contained in the reports of the Fifth Committee, I should like to advise representatives that we are going to proceed to take decisions in the same manner as was done in the Fifth Committee, unless notified otherwise in advance. This means that where recorded votes were taken, we will do the same. I should also hope that we will proceed to adopt without a vote those recommendations that were adopted without a vote in the committee. The Assembly will consider the report of the Fifth Committee on Agenda Item 133, entitled Program Budget for the Biennium 2012-2013, contained in document A/68/688. The Assembly has before it two draft resolutions recommended by the Fifth Committee in paragraph 8 of its report. Representatives wishing to explain their vote before the vote on the two draft resolutions are invited to do so now. We will now take action on draft resolution 1 and 2, one by one. We first turn to draft resolution 1, entitled Managing After-Service Health Insurance Liabilities, the text of which, for the time being, is contained in document A/C5/68/L6. The Fifth Committee adopted draft resolution 1 without a vote. May I take it that the Assembly wishes to do the same? It is so decided. Draft resolution 2 is entitled Program Budget for the Biennium 2012-2013, the text of which, for the time being, is contained in document A/C5/68/L18. The Fifth Committee adopted draft resolution 2 without a vote. May I take it that the Assembly wishes to do the same? It is so decided. Assembly has thus concluded this stage of its consideration of agenda item 133. The Assembly will now consider the report of the Fifth Committee on Agenda Item 134, entitled Proposed Program Budget for the Biennium 2014-2015, contained in document A/68/689. The Assembly has before it five draft resolutions recommended by the Fifth Committee in paragraph 34 of its report. There has been a request for an explanation of vote before the vote. the Bolivarian Republic of Venezuela.
Muchas gracias, señor presidente. Mi delegación tiene el honor de intervenir en nombre de las delegaciones de Bolivia, Cuba, Ecuador y Nicaragua en relación a la sección 6 del proyecto de resolución contenido en el documento A/68/L.20, titulado Cuestiones relativas al presupuesto por programas para el bienio 2014-2015. Ante esta Asamblea General, deseamos dejar constancia de nuestro rechazo, dada la falta de mandato legislativo, a la inclusión en el marco lógico de la Oficina del Asesor Especial del Secretario General sobre la Prevención del Genocidio, de narrativas, funciones, logros previstos e indicadores de medición relacionados con la llamada responsabilidad de proteger. Reiteramos que ello transgrede sucesivas resoluciones de la Asamblea General relacionadas con los temas de planificación de programas y presupuesto por programas. Los Estados miembros no hemos negociado acuerdo alguno en lo referente a la definición de este concepto, su ámbito de aplicación u otros temas relacionados con el mismo. Por consiguiente, es evidente la ausencia de fundamento legal para que se le confíe al asesor especial el desarrollo y perfeccionamiento de un concepto que no ha sido acordado por los Estados miembros. Al reiterar nuestro apoyo irrestricto a las actividades del asesor especial para la prevención del genocidio y nuestro apego total al derecho internacional, queremos solicitar votación de la sección 6 del proyecto de resolución atendiendo a las razones antes señaladas. Muchas gracias, señor presidente.
We will now take a decision on draft resolution 1-5, one by one. Draft resolution 1 is entitled Questions Relating to the Proposed Program Budget for the Biennium 2014-2015. Text of which, for the time being, is contained in document A/C5/68/L19. The Fifth Committee adopted draft resolution 1 without a vote. May I take it that the Assembly wishes to do the same? It is so decided. We will now turn to draft resolution 2, entitled Special Subjects Relating to the Proposed Program Budget for the Biennium 2014-2015, the text of which, for the time being, is contained in document A/C5/68/L20. A separate vote has been requested on Section 6 of Draft Resolution 2. Member States are reminded that in accordance with Rule 83 of the Rules of Procedure of the General Assembly, budgetary questions require a majority of two-thirds of those present and voting. A recorded vote has been requested. Those in favor of Section 6 of Draft Resolution 2, please signify. Those against, abstentions.
The Assembly is now voting on Section 6 of Draft Resolution 2, entitled Special Subjects Relating to the Proposed Program Budget for the Biennium 2014-2015, as recommended in document A/68/689. Will all delegations kindly confirm that their votes are accurately reflected on the screen? The voting has been completed. Please lock the machine.
The result of the vote is as follows. Those in favor, 136, against 7, abstentions 8. Section 6 of Draft Resolution 2 is adopted. The Assembly will now take a decision on Draft Resolution 2 as a whole. The Fifth Committee adopted Draft Resolution 2 without a vote. May I take it that the Assembly wishes to do likewise? It is so decided. Draft Resolution 3 is entitled Program Budget for the Biennium 2014-2015, the text of which, for the time being, is contained in Document A/C5/68/L21. The Fifth Committee adopted Draft Resolution 3 without a vote. May I take it that the Assembly wishes to do likewise? It is so decided. Draft Resolution 4 is entitled Unforeseen Extraordinary Expenses for the Biennium 2014-2015, the text of which, for the time being, is contained in Document A/C5/68/L22. The Fifth Committee adopted Draft Resolution 4 without a vote. May I take it that the Assembly wishes to do likewise? It is so decided. Draft Resolution 5 is entitled Working Capital Fund for the Biennium 2014-2015, the text of which, for the time being, is contained in Document A/C5/68/L23. The Fifth Committee adopted Draft Resolution 5 without a vote. May I take it that the Assembly wishes to do the same? It is so decided. There have been four requests for explanations of vote after the vote. Delegation of Cuba.
Muchas gracias, señor presidente. Mi delegación se ha asociado al consenso en torno al proyecto de resolución A/C5/68/L19, titulado Presupuesto por Programas para el Bienio 2014-2015. Tras participar en el proceso que condujo al acuerdo en torno al mismo, como parte del paquete presentado por el presidente de la Comisión el pasado día 23. El texto, aunque cubre un grupo de elementos de importancia vinculados a la metodología y al procedimiento presupuestario, carece de otros que necesariamente debían dar directrices al secretario general sobre el tema y establecer el marco para la aplicación del presupuesto del próximo bienio. Tal vacío legislativo es resultado del difícil escenario que caracterizó la interacción entre las delegaciones para acordar el mencionado texto. Consideramos, por tanto, que el proyecto de resolución que acabamos de adoptar tiene carácter excepcional y, en consecuencia, no debe constituir un precedente para resoluciones futuras. Escenarios como el que caracterizó los trabajos en torno al presupuesto laceran el multilateralismo, las relaciones amistosas entre los estados y entre las delegaciones y el espíritu de cooperación que debería primar en esta organización y del que tanto espera la comunidad internacional. Mi delegación lamenta que la Asamblea General no aprobara mantener un grupo de los puestos de la sección de publicaciones. Al respecto, reitera que la introducción de nuevas tecnologías no debe conllevar necesariamente ni a la separación involuntaria del personal ni a su reducción. Esperamos que el secretario general ejecute las acciones necesarias para ubicar en otras áreas al personal afectado y le facilite el entrenamiento necesario para desarrollar sus nuevas funciones. De otra parte, mi delegación no insistió en modificar el subprograma 2 titulado Desastres y Conflictos, y la narrativa conexa del programa 14, Medio Ambiente, para facilitar el consenso en una etapa tan tardía de los trabajos de la Comisión. Enfatizamos, sin embargo, que nos asistía y asiste todo el derecho a hacerlo. Dado que el texto no refleja el acuerdo intergubernamental alcanzado en Río más 20, ni en el programa del bienio 2012-2013, ni tiene base legislativa en el marco del PNUMA, mi delegación expresa su reserva hacia el contenido del mencionado subprograma y su intención de retomar el tema cuando se considere el próximo marco estratégico. Además, esperamos que durante la ejecución del presupuesto de la sección 24 sobre derechos humanos, el secretario general establezca una sección separada para dar apoyo al EPU en cumplimiento de la resolución 66/246. Muchas gracias.
Brazil. Islamic Republic of Iran.
Thank you, Mr. President. My delegation has asked for the floor to explain its vote to Section 6 of the Resolution 2 under this agenda item. Iran has always supported the activities of the United Nations in all areas related to its scope of work as long as they abide by the rules and regulations of the organization and remain within the international law and the realm of the United Nations. Although Iran supports the functions of the Special Advisor of the Secretary General on the Prevention of Genocide, in the view of my delegation, the issue of the responsibility to protect, including its definition, is still under the consideration of the General Assembly. It is therefore not accepted for my delegation that the limited financial resources of the organization be allocated to funding posts for which there is no mandated definition. It was based on this reason that my delegation voted against Section 6 of the resolution. I thank you, Mr. President.
United States. Russian Federation.
Уважаемый господин председатель, я хотел бы попросить исправления своего голосования по секции 6. Мы технически нажали неправильно воздержаться. Мы голосуем за. Прошу внести этот протокол. Спасибо.
The Assembly has thus concluded this stage of its consideration of Agenda Item 134. We will now turn to Agenda Item 136, entitled Improving Financial Situation of the United Nations. Members will recall that at its second plenary meeting on 20th September 2013, the Assembly decided to include this item in the agenda of the 68th session. It is my understanding that it would be desirable to defer consideration of this item to the 69th session of the General Assembly. May I take it that it is the wish of the General Assembly to defer consideration of this item and to include it in the draft agenda of its 69th session? It is so decided. The Assembly has thus concluded its consideration of Agenda Item 136. The Assembly will consider the report of the Fifth Committee on Agenda Item 137, entitled Pattern of Conferences, contained in Document A/68/673. The Assembly has before it a draft resolution recommended by the Fifth Committee in paragraph 6 of its report. The text of the draft resolution, for the time being, is contained in document A/C5/68/L11. We will now take a decision on the draft resolution. The Fifth Committee adopted a draft resolution without a vote. May I take it that the Assembly wishes to do the same? It is so decided. The Assembly has thus concluded this stage of its consideration of agenda item 137. The General Assembly will consider the report of the Fifth Committee on agenda item 138, entitled Scale of Assessments for the Apportionment of the Expenses of the United Nations, contained in document A/68/504, addendum 1. The Assembly has before it a draft resolution recommended by the Fifth Committee in paragraph 5 of its report. The text of the draft decision, for the time being, is contained in document A/C5/68/L10. We will now take action on the draft decision. The Fifth Committee adopted a draft decision without a vote. May I take it that the Assembly wishes to do the same? It is so decided. There has been a request for an explanation of vote after the vote. Delegation Vilsdal.
Thank you, Mr. President. Israel regrets and objects to the use of the misleading terminology State of Palestine in the decision on Agenda Item 138. Scale of Assessments for the Apportionment of the Expenses of the United Nations. Mr. President, it is counterproductive to use this term when no such state exists, and when such a state can only be established through direct negotiations, as has been affirmed repeatedly by the international community and agreed between the parties. There is only one route to Palestinian statehood. That route does not run through this chamber in New York, but only through direct negotiations between Jerusalem and Ramallah. In this regard, Israel reiterates the position expressed by Israel's ambassador to the United Nations on the 29th of November 2012 in the General Assembly, and on the 23rd of January 2013 in the Security Council, and is compelled to disassociate itself from this decision. I ask that this disassociation be noted in the official record of the meeting. Thank you, Mr. President.
The Assembly has thus concluded this stage of its consideration of agenda item 138. The Assembly will consider a report of the Fifth Committee on agenda item 139 entitled Human Resources Management, contained in document A/68/690. Yes. The Assembly has before it a draft resolution recommended by the Fifth Committee in paragraph 7 of its report. The text of the draft resolution, for the time being, is contained in document A/C5/68/L25. We will now take a decision on the draft resolution. The Fifth Committee adopted a draft resolution without a vote. May I take it that the Assembly wishes to do likewise? It is so decided. There has been a request for an explanation of vote after the vote. Delegation of Lithuania.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I have the honor to speak on behalf of the Member States of the European Union. The Member States of the European Union have long been staunch supporters of human resources management reform, the goal of making the work of the United Nations more effective and efficient by implementing a modern human resources system and by fostering an organizational culture that enables staff at all levels to contribute to their greatest potential is one we fully subscribe to. This year's resolution on human resource management includes several welcome elements. In particular, we are pleased to see the shared recognition of the need to improve performance management and the request that the Secretary General present proposals in this regard next year. Mr. President, As we have recalled several times in the last year, we have been strong proponents of the principle of managed mobility, which would need to meet the needs of the organization and its staff, including their families and the concerns of the member states. During the formal meetings of the committee, which took place on 25th of November, we made clear that we were entering this session with the aspiration of agreeing a workable new scheme. It is therefore disappointing that, for various reasons, the Fifth Committee collectively was unable to go beyond the decision to defer the Secretary General's refined proposal on mobility to the first resumed session. However, our view is that this decision does not amount to a rejection of the Secretary General proposal. We will be working hard with the other member states to ensure that the first resume session yields a positive outcome on this important matter. Mr. President, as I have a floor, let me conclude my statement with a few additional remarks by expressing our deepest appreciation for the outstanding way in which the chairman of the Fifth Committee, Ambassador Janet Talas, has carried out his duties in the face of some of the most difficult negotiations in recent memory. His resilience and professionalism were key in getting us together around a final overall deal which, while not perfect for anyone, contains welcome elements. We would also like to thank the principals from the group of G77 and China and Russia who participated in the crucial final stages of the negotiation. We dedicate our special tribute to the efforts of the chair of the Group 77, Ambassador Peter Thompson, during the Fifth Committee negotiations and throughout the year. He always was a tough negotiator and defended the interests of his group with admirable passion and effectiveness. But on our side, we always felt that, at the end of the day, a sensible and mutually acceptable compromise could and would be found. We fully concur with him that when people sit together and talk in timely manner, even the most intractable problems can be worked out. This spirit will continue to guide us in dealing with all our partners in this room on the Fifth Committee matters and on any other United Nations-related business. I thank you, Mr. President.
Republic of Korea.
Thank you, Mr. President. My delegation would like to express our deep appreciation to all the delegations for having reached an agreement on the 2014-15 biennium budget, the 2012-13 performance report, as well as other issues on the Fifth Committee agenda. However, it is regrettable that for all the hard work and extended discussion, we have not been able to reach an agreement on the managed mobility proposal. The most valuable asset of this organization is its human resources. The managed mobility policy is necessary for their optimal use. Even though this was proposed by Secretary General Ban Ki-moon, it will by far transcend his term. It would be a shame if we could not bring to this organization a reform that is urgently required due to short-sightedness or lack of wisdom. I hope that we, as responsible members of this body, will take a decision on mobility in the next resumed session to provide the Secretariat with a clear direction of where we are headed. Thank you, Mr. President.
Japan.
Thank you, Mr. President. On the occasion of the adoption of the Human Resources Management Resolution, my delegation notes that it was very unfortunate that we could not arrive at an agreement on the mobility proposal. My delegation looks forward to and intends to participate actively in the discussions in the first resumed session on this important proposal so that we may quickly resolve any outstanding issues and come together to adopt a consensus resolution at that session. Thank you very much, Mr. President.
The Assembly has thus concluded this stage of its consideration of agenda item 139. Assembly will consider a report of the Fifth Committee on Agenda Item 141, entitled United Nations Common System, contained in Document A/68/684. Assembly has before it a draft resolution recommended by the Fifth Committee in paragraph 7 of its report. The text of the draft resolution, for the time being, is contained in Document A/C5/68/L17. We will now take a decision on the draft resolution. The Fifth Committee adopted the draft resolution without a vote. May I take it that the Assembly wishes to do the same? It is so decided. General Assembly has thus concluded this stage of its consideration of Agenda Item 141. Assembly will now consider a report of the Fifth Committee on Agenda Item 143, entitled Administration of Justice at the United Nations, containing Document A/68/670. Assembly has before it a draft resolution recommended by the Fifth Committee in paragraph 6 of its report. The text of the draft resolution, for the time being, is contained in Document A/C5/68/L7. We will now take a decision on the draft resolution. The Fifth Committee adopted the draft resolution without a vote. May I take it that the Assembly wishes to do likewise? It is so decided. General Assembly has thus concluded this stage of its consideration of Agenda Item 143. The Assembly will consider a report of the Fifth Committee on Agenda Item 144, entitled Financing of the International Criminal Tribunal for the Prosecution of Persons Responsible for Genocide and Other Serious Violations of International Humanitarian Law Committed in the Territory of Rwanda and Rwandan Citizens Responsible for Genocide and Other Such Violations Committed in the Territory of Neighboring States between 1 January and 31st December 1994, containing Document A/68/681. The Assembly has before it a draft resolution recommended by the Fifth Committee in paragraph 6 of its report. The text of the draft resolution, for the time being, is contained in Document A/C5/68/L14. We will now take a decision on the draft resolution. The Fifth Committee adopted a draft resolution without a vote. May I take it that the Assembly wishes to do the same? It is so decided. The General Assembly has thus concluded this stage of its consideration of Agenda Item 144. Assembly will consider a report of the Fifth Committee on Agenda Item 145, Financing of the International Tribunal for the Prosecution of Persons Responsible for Serious Violations of International Humanitarian Law Committed in the Territory of the Former Yugoslavia since 1991, contained in Document A/68/682. The Assembly has before it a draft resolution recommended by the Fifth Committee in paragraph 4 of its report. The text of the draft resolution, for the time being, is contained in Document A/C5/68/L15. There has been a request for an explanation of vote before the vote. Russian Federation.
Уважаемый господин председатель, позвольте прежде всего поблагодарить вас за представление проектов резолюций. Несмотря на то, что российская делегация приняла решение не возражать против их принятия, не может не вызывать сожаления, что наше предложение по укреплению бюджетной дисциплины трибуналов и проведению независимой оценки эффективности их работы трибунала по бывшей Югославии так и не были в них учтены. Это при том, что эффективность работы трибуналов с каждым годом вызывает у нас все больше вопросов, не говоря уже про их прозрачность и подотчетность. В случае отсутствия и в дальнейшем существенного прогресса трибуналов в вопросе окончательного завершения работы и передачи остающихся функций остаточному механизму, Мы будем добиваться принятия самых решительных мер, включая проведение комплексной независимой экспертизы их деятельности. Спасибо за внимание.
We will now take a decision on the draft resolution. The Fifth Committee adopted a draft resolution without a vote. May I take it that the Assembly wishes to do the same? It is so decided. General Assembly has thus concluded this stage of its consideration of Agenda Item 145. General Assembly will consider the report of the Fifth Committee on Agenda Item 146, entitled Financing of the International Residual Mechanism for Criminal Tribunals, contained in document A/68/683. The Assembly has before it a draft resolution recommended by the Fifth Committee in paragraph 6 of its report. The text of the draft resolution for the time being is contained in document A/C5/68/L16. The Assembly will now take a decision on the draft resolution. The Fifth Committee adopted the draft resolution without a vote. May I take it that the Assembly wishes to do likewise? It is so decided. Assembly has thus concluded this stage of its consideration of Agenda Item 146. General Assembly will consider the report of the Fifth Committee on Agenda Item 148, entitled Financing of the United Nations Interim Security Force for Abyei. Assembly has before it a draft resolution recommended by the Fifth Committee in paragraph 6 of its report. The text of the draft resolution for the time being is contained in document A/C5/68/L9. Assembly will now take a decision on the draft resolution. The Fifth Committee adopted a draft resolution without a vote. May I take it that the Assembly wishes to do likewise? It is so decided. Assembly has thus concluded this stage of its consideration of Agenda Item 148. General Assembly will consider the report of the Fifth Committee on Agenda Item 158, entitled Financing of the United Nations Multidimensional Integrated Stabilization Mission in Mali, contained in document A/68/680. The Assembly has before it a draft resolution recommended by the Fifth Committee in paragraph 6 of its report. The text of the draft resolution is contained, for the time being, in document A/C5/68/L13. Assembly will now take a decision on the draft resolution. The Fifth Committee adopted a draft resolution without a vote. May I take it that the Assembly wishes to do likewise? It is so decided. Assembly has thus concluded this stage of its consideration of Agenda Item 158. The Assembly will consider the report of the Fifth Committee on sub-item A of Agenda Item 159, entitled Financing of the United Nations Peacekeeping Forces in the Middle East, United Nations Disengagement Observer Force, contained in document A/68/671. The Assembly has before it a draft resolution recommended by the Fifth Committee in paragraph 6 of its report. The text of the draft resolution, for the time being, is contained in document A/C5/68/L8. We will now take a decision on the draft resolution entitled Financing of the United Nations Disengagement Observer Force. The Fifth Committee adopted the draft resolution without a vote. May I take it that the Assembly wishes to do the same? It is so decided. Assembly has thus concluded this stage of its consideration of sub-item A of Agenda Item 159. Assembly will consider a report of the Fifth Committee on Agenda Item 132, entitled Review of the Efficiency of the Administrative and Financial Functioning of the United Nations, contained in document A/68/691. Assembly has before it a draft decision recommended by the Fifth Committee in paragraph 5 of its report. The text of the draft decision, for the time being, is contained in document A/C5/68/L26. Assembly will now take action on the draft decision entitled Questions Deferred for Future Consideration. The Fifth Committee adopted a draft decision without a vote. May I take it that the Assembly wishes to do likewise? It is so decided. Assembly has thus concluded this stage of its consideration of agenda item 132. Okay, but when do I invite her to speak? On behalf of the General Assembly, I would like to thank His Excellency Mr. Jani Tallas, Deputy Permanent Representative of Finland to the United Nations and Chairperson of the Fifth Committee, Secretary of the Fifth Committee, members of the Bureau, as well as delegates for the job well done. General Assembly has thus concluded its consideration of all of the reports of the Fifth Committee before it. A number of delegations have requested an opportunity to make statements. I begin with the Permanent Representative of Fiji, presumably speaking on behalf of the Group of 77 in China. Excellency, you have the microphone.
Thank you, Mr. President. I believe the spirit of Nelson Mandela hovers over the United Nations, guiding us and pointing the way to a higher ground. His spirit urges us to extract the essence of that which rests within our better natures to perform the formidable tasks and responsibilities with which the United Nations and its community of diplomats are charged. We all know of the many lessons he gave on the subject of opposing sides coming together to work in partnership for the good of all. To quote, "knowing that in the end he and the other side must be closer," Madiba said, "and thus emerge stronger." May the spirit of the great man lead us to such unity, for the United Nations and the world we represent will need it if we are to overcome the great challenges lying before us in the 21st century. We have negotiated in the long hours of the days and nights that approached Christmas, on Christmas Day itself, and during these last two concluding days, a 12-point package that has led us to the adoption of the biennium budget this afternoon. Having so arduously agreed upon that delicately balanced package, it has been necessary to defend its integrity with vigilance. From the Group of 77's position, such vigilance was required because it has been our solemn duty throughout this process to protect the delivery of essential United Nations services to the people of the developing world. We all know that such services are vital for our efforts to eradicate poverty and uplift the conditions of the developing world. One of the elements of the 12-point package was the decision to defer the Secretary-General's proposal on mobility to the first resumed session in March 2014. This deferment has been a bitter disappointment to many parties, including many in the Group of 77, for the central aim of the mobility proposal is to increase the equity and effectiveness pertaining to the UN's human resources. It is clear to many that mobility will improve the lot of those public servants who dedicate themselves to the provision of UN services on the ground in the developing world. As such, it behoves us all to remain seized on the mobility proposal, to talk through any remaining differences, so that we might sit down in March ready to deliver a positive outcome. Mr. President, I take this moment to thank you for the firm hand and wise counsel which you have exerted during these budget negotiations. We have been most fortunate to have had a man of your stature at the helm, a man with such deep understanding of the affairs of the General Assembly, a man with so many years of UN leadership under your belt. The group's thanks also go to the Secretary General and the Secretariat for their ever-responsive action on necessary number crunching and their ever-available expert analysis and good advice. I would like to present the Group of 77's sincere appreciation to the Chair of the Fifth, Ambassador Talas. In the wee small hours of the morning, Ambassador Talas was always there, giving everything he had to the brokerage of the 12-point package that brought home the biennium's budget. To Ambassadors Torsella, Yamazaki, and Veyas, representing the partners, along with their tireless expert negotiating team, I doff my fedora and give thanks for their understanding and for the commitment we all shared towards achieving a settlement that would, under the circumstances, be the best possible for the United Nations. I have a special word of appreciation for Ambassador Torsella, who is moving on from the United Nations to new duties. He has left his mark, and we wish him Godspeed to what lies ahead. Finally, I'd like to thank Ambassadors Patriota, Monte, Pachunegama Nono, and Goicochea, along with Juliana Ruas and the G77 experts negotiating team, for their dedication to the job of representing our group through these long negotiations. Lastly, a special word of thanks, this time to Sai Novoti of the Fiji Mission, who is sitting behind me, who has so steadfastly led the Group of 77 in the Fifth Committee during 2013. He returns to his island paradise in Fiji next week. To one and all, as we say in Fiji, Vinakvakalevu. Mr. President, we have today approved the $5.4 billion budget for the United Nations for the 2014-2015 biennium. It represents the best that we as member states can muster at this time of continuing austerity in the world economy. It has been crafted with the desire we all share to fortify this organization that it may fulfill its fundamental duty to humanity. In joining the consensus on the biennium, the Group of 77 does so with deep concern that budgetary austerity may negatively affect the development pillar of the work of the United Nations. We ask the Secretary General to make every effort to ensure this does not eventuate. The commencement of the biennium is now days away. Let us enter it as a global community that stands side by side as we design a global development agenda for the universal betterment of this planet, an agenda that has at its center a renewed commitment to the abolition of poverty from this world and a common dedication to uplifting the freedom of others. I thank you, Mr. President.
Brazil. United States.
Thank you, Mr. President. The United States is indeed pleased that after so many long days and nights of difficult discussions, weeks of intense and important debates, and months of hard work by so many people, we have a United Nations budget for the 2014-15 biennium that follows the same responsible trend established in the last biennium, a reduction in the starting level of the new biennium from the final spending level of the last, and a dramatically different trend line of essentially level spending since 2010-2011 in comparison with the biennium-to-biennium increases of 15% in the previous decade. We welcome the major first step towards streamlining the organization represented by the 2% reduction in the staffing table for the first time in many years. As we have said many times, staffing costs represent the primary driver of the vast expansion in the UN regular budget in previous biennia, and this agreement is a recognition that the first step in addressing spiraling costs is to eliminate unnecessary, duplicative, or outdated posts. Likewise, we applaud the action taken today to freeze UN pay for 1 year and UN allowances for two. At a time when the budgets and crucial services of many common system organizations have been squeezed, these measures will hold compensation costs in place until we can act in the next session on the recommendations to bend the 5-year pay curve down to an appropriate level and make the total compensation package more sustainable the session thereafter. We are also very pleased that there will be no new assessment on taxpayers for the final portion of the 2012-13 recosting bill. And while we are disappointed that this budget did not end the practice of recosting entirely, we are encouraged to have at last commissioned an independent study on recosting reform that will enable us, if we have the political will, to make long-needed changes to this antiquated process next fall. Likewise, we are optimistic that our agreement on recosting today, combined with the post-adjustment and allowance freeze we approved, will remove much of the variability of past biennia. We further hope and expect that the Secretariat will continue their management reform efforts and continue to utilize financial risk management tools to find further efficiencies that will minimize the impact of any additional financial requests and recosting needs not already covered in this budget. These milestone measures mark a new commitment to real fiscal discipline at the United Nations at a tough time for hardworking families around the world. They benefit not only taxpayers, but the people around the world who depend on the United Nations. All of us want and deserve a United Nations that is sustainable, effective, and credible. And today's budget represents a recognition by member states that business as usual is not sustainable. There are other significant achievements, Mr. President. We've advanced the important work of the United Nations missions in Afghanistan and Iraq, Mali, and elsewhere. We've strengthened the work of the Office of the High Commissioner for Human Rights, the UN Environment Program in follow-up to Rio Plus 20, and the support given by the Department of Political Affairs to the Central African Republic, to name a few areas. Of course, there is more the General Assembly could have done this session. We are especially disappointed that the pressure of time prevented member states from approving a mobility proposal as we were urged to do by the Secretary General, as well as the proposal to establish the UN Partnerships Facility, which would provide coherence and guidance to the many private and non-governmental entities working with the UN to enable them to provide for the neediest people around the world. Key concerns about the implementation details of mobility had been addressed over the past few weeks through intensive dialogue and hard work with other member states and the Secretariat. We were prepared to move forward, and we are deeply disappointed that the Fifth Committee was not able to complete its work on these items. The United States reiterates today our support for a managed mobility program, our commitment to working constructively with all colleagues to achieve it in just a few weeks' time in the first resumed session as a matter of priority, and our gratitude to the Secretary General for his passion and determination on this issue. It is crucial for both member states and the Secretariat to continue to manage with vigilance during the upcoming biennium to protect the gains that we've made over the last few years. We thank the Secretariat for their efforts over the course of 2012-13 to manage prudently and responsibly, not on behalf of any member state, but because that's their obligation to this organization. Our shared goal should be to ensure that the United Nations can maximize the results that it delivers with the amount of resources that member states are collectively able to provide. In closing, we wish to thank the Secretary General again for his leadership in proposing revised budget levels that seek to do more with less by capitalizing on ways to do business better and smarter, and that respond to the fiscal climate affecting many member states. We also thank his senior managers for their tireless work this session and throughout the year. In particular, we commend Chef de Cabinet Susana Malcora, Under Secretary General Yukio Takasu, and Assistant Secretary General and Controller Maria Eugenia Casar for their commitment to reform. Mr. President, as you have heard, we would not have been able to complete our work without the leadership of Ambassador Yana Talas. His dedication, relentless drive, and inexhaustible energy navigated the committee through many difficult issues that threatened to derail this budget and other issues. We were also kept on track by our dedicated Bureau members and Ms. Sharon von Berle and her team. And we are grateful, Mr. President, to have been in your wise and firm hands at various points in this process. And I finally want to acknowledge both our colleagues among the like-minded group and our negotiating counterparts, especially the always tough but always gracious, calm, and professional Ambassador Peter Thompson, the chairman of the G77 plus China. I must say, Mr. President, this is the first time in my life I wished I did have a fedora, because if I had it, I would tip it back to Ambassador Thompson. Thank you.
Pakistan.
Thank you, Mr. President. First of all, I want to thank you for your close personal engagement with the Fifth Committee leadership, negotiating teams, and delegates to expedite the decision-making process. We particularly thank you for your intervention at the last moment to bridge the gaps between the Group of 77 and China and the partners. Your wise counsel helped the two sides to bring the current phase of negotiations to a closure. We fully associate ourselves with a statement made by Ambassador Peter Thompson, permanent representative of Fiji, on behalf of the Group of 77 in China. In the past 2 weeks, negotiations were intense and difficult, and yet negotiators from both sides on many issues moved to common ground that made adoption of all the resolutions by consensus. Negotiating teams continue to work hard even during Christmas. They spent several nights here. This fact alone must be recognized by all with deepest appreciation. Mr. President, I want to pay a special tribute to Ambassador Peter Thompson and his dedicated negotiating teams from the Group of 77, which engaged with their equally able interlocutors from amongst the partners. Ambassador Thompson has set new standards of leadership, outreach, and camaraderie. We thank him for the constructive role he has played throughout the year. Mr. President, I would like to make 3 brief points. First, there has been inordinate delay in reaching decisions in the Fifth Committee this year. This is regrettable because of the complexity of the issues. This year was by no means more challenging than in the previous years. We are concluding our work today, 2 days after Christmas, which sets a new precedent, but not a good one. We should resolve not to let this happen next year. Second, despite the committee's frequent reaffirmations to conduct its work in an open, transparent, and inclusive manner, the budget negotiations were held in small group configurations and behind closed doors. This must be rectified. Third, from delays this year, we have learned a lesson once again that the working methods of the committee should be reformed and reviewed in earnest. Conduct of negotiations should be made more efficient, effective, and time-bound. We must take an early start to meet the deadlines. Mr. President, we strongly believe that the two issues before the committee, staff mobility and partnerships facility, were ripe for decisions. It is a pity that the issues have been postponed till March 2014 to the Fifth Committee's first resumed session. We are glad that these two issues have been postponed for a very short time and have not been shelved. The momentum generated regarding these two issues must be maintained between now and March. Staff mobility, in particular, could have been addressed definitively because of the broad convergence of a critical mass of constituencies on this issue. The Secretary General himself has widely engaged with the membership to highlight the merits of transitioning to a system of phased managed mobility to make the United Nations a truly modern and efficient organization. Member states are convinced of the merits of the case. We therefore urge all member states to prepare themselves for taking a decision in March next year. Mr. President, separately, partnerships facility is also mature for a decision. In fact, in practice, the United Nations has established partnerships with a vast array of organizations. It is time to formalize these partnerships to optimally use their full potential. Once formalized, these partnerships would reinforce the United Nations' core agenda and functionalities covering peace, development, and human rights. Although there has been frequent interaction on the subject, some member states have raised questions mainly relating to the oversight of the extra budgetary resources. This and other issues can be discussed further between now and March to take a final decision. Mr. President, we hope that when we begin our discussions in March next year, during the resumed session, we would engage constructively in an open, transparent, and inclusive manner and seek to resolve particular and legitimate concerns of some member states through the process of an inclusive negotiating process. Finally, we also wish Ambassador Torsella, we wish him well, we wish him success as he moves on. He leaves his mark on the committee, and we appreciate his rich contribution to its work. I thank you, Mr. President.
Rocco.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just take the floor to indicate that the intention of Morocco the intention of Morocco was to vote yes on the draft resolution entitled UN Human Rights Training and Documentation Center for Southwest Asia and the Arab Regions, contained in document A/68/677. And my delegation would like this to be reflected in the official record of this meeting. Thank you, Mr. President.
Samuel.
Apologies, Mr. President. For that, I'll be brief and to the point. Ambassador Thompson of Fiji has spoken eloquently on behalf of the Group of 77 and China, and Samoa happily defers to his wisdom and outstanding leadership of the group throughout 2013. But celebratory occasions like today's are rare to come by, especially for a small island developing state like Samoa. And when they do, we must necessarily take the floor to add our voice of appreciation for the understanding and sympathetic manner all member states dealt with the modalities resolution for the CITES conference in 2014, as evidenced by its successful and consensual adoption today. In the same spirit, Samoa aligns itself with the statement delivered by the permanent representative of Papua New Guinea on behalf of Pacific Small Island Developing States. Since the decision was taken 18 months ago in Rio to hold a third conference on SIDS, we had been reminding you and member states of one simple truth, a truth that can easily or conveniently get lost in the height of the multilateral negotiations. And the simple truth is that the 2014 conference is a global event. Yes. A UN International Conference on SIDS, not a SIDS conference only on SIDS. Thankfully, today's consensual resolution is a powerful and tangible expression to that sentiment. Everyone's support and understanding was critical. SIDS, G77 and China and our partners could not have achieved this result on their own. Looking forward, this is a fitting message to underpin our joint path from here on to Samoa in September 2014. It is also an appropriate way to usher in 2014 as the International Year of SIDS and to underscore our theme of the Samoa Conference, the sustainable development of SIDS through genuine and durable partnerships. Mr. President, SIDS is an integral part of our global family, and my delegation remains confident that so long as our member states focus on our positive attributes, not on the negatives, on our strengths, not on our weaknesses, on the way forward, not the past, and on what binds us, not the artificial barriers that divide us, then we can utilize the 2014 Samoa Conference in a genuine way to effectively address the special case and needs of small island developing states. I thank you.
Brazil.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I'm sorry I couldn't see or hear you from this vantage point the previous time you gave me the floor, so excuse me for that. First of all, I wish to highlight the exceptional work carried out by experts in the Fifth Committee with a view to achieving an agreement on the budget for 2012, 2013, and for 2014 and 2015. In particular, I must express the sincere appreciation of Brazil for the competent leadership of the chair of the G77, Ambassador Peter Townsend of Fiji, and his team. Due recognition must also be given to the tireless and fruitful efforts of the Fifth Committee Chair, the DPR Finland, Janne Talas, and of colleagues who contributed to consensus. My delegation considers that in our extraneous efforts towards an agreement, there are no winners or losers, but a win for the organization which needs a budget. Brazil will continue to make its utmost to build consensus on a continued basis on the issues that unfortunately we were not in a position to agree on at this point in time. Today, we were able to arrive at a text that preserves the rules and regulations governing the budget process of this organization while providing the necessary level of resources for the implementation of mandates. In this regard, we are glad that the budget process and methodology have been preserved. Brazil is very much in favor of increasing the efficiency and the use of the organization's resources. However, in our view, the standard against which to measure the achievement of this goal is not a simple quantification of cuts, but whether or not we are providing the organization with the necessary resources to adequately implement the mandates that we have decided to adopt. In considering the UN regular budget, we must strive to strengthen the ability of the organization to effectively make a difference to the people around the world who suffer from poverty, inequality, conflicts, and natural disasters. This means making resources available to and prioritizing the development pillar. We believe the resolution we adopted today will be instrumental in that regard. We also wish to highlight the importance we attach to the staff of the UN, their contribution to the implementation of the mandates and the achievements of the higher ideals of the United Nations cannot be overstated. A final word on the workings of the Fifth Committee. The 12-point Christmas Eve agreement was painstakingly arrived at through sleepless nights and the spirit of mutual accommodation and compromise. But we need to face the fact that the negotiating methods of the Fifth Committee are bordering on dysfunctionality. We have an individual and collective responsibility to ensure better practices in the future. Practices that guarantee the highest level of transparency, technical clarity, and do not establish unnecessary brinkmanship as the rule. We must improve the mutual trust among member states, as well as among member states and the Secretariat, in order to strengthen our organization. Thank you, Mr. President.
I should now like to consult members with a view to giving the floor to Ms. Susana Malcoro, Under Secretary General and Chef of the Cabinet. If there is no objection, may I take it that it is the wish of the General Assembly, and without setting a precedent, to invite Ms. Malcoro, Under Secretary General and Chef of the Cabinet, to make a statement at this meeting? It is so decided. In accordance with the decision just taken, I now give the floor to Ms. Malcoro, Under Secretary General and Chef of the Cabinet. Madam?
Your Excellency, Mr. John Ash, President of the General Assembly, Excellencies, Your Excellency Mr. Jan Tallas, Chairman of the Fifth Committee, distinguished delegates, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to thank you all for your dedication, hard work, and flexibility. Your late nights and round-the-clock negotiations have paid off. The approval of the new budget for 2014-15 is a collective achievement of all the member states with the support from the Secretariat. With this step, the United Nations is ready to continue to deliver for the world's people. The Secretary General also expresses his appreciation and has asked me to deliver the following message on his behalf. Excellencies, all budget years are tough, but this year has been especially difficult. The budget proposal reflected a difficult reality: how to ensure that our organization can deliver at a time when demands on the United Nations continue to grow while funding continues to shrink. The world is turning more and more to the United Nations for answers and help across a broad spectrum of issues. We have a duty to live up to people's expectations and meet their pressing needs. And we must uphold our obligation to you, the Member States, to make the most prudent use of the precious resources that you provide. The new budget is lower than the one for the previous biennium, reflecting our shared wish for a fiscally responsible Secretariat. We will continue to adapt and equip the United Nations to better implement its mandates. I have urged all managers to rethink our business practices, reduce overlap, embrace innovation, encourage creativity, and build synergies. I have also stressed the need to uphold the standards of effectiveness that the Assembly has requested. You can count on our commitment. At the same time, I cannot hide my disappointment that the General Assembly failed to reach agreement on two critically important reform proposals: a managed mobility policy and a strengthened arrangements for partnerships with the private sector. These were designed to significantly improve and modernize the way we operate, with the staff in building a global secretariat and with key actors in promoting development. I sincerely hope that when discussions on these issues resume, we can bring these initiatives to fruition without any further delay. I would also like to reiterate that it will be unrealistic to presume that any substantial budget reduction will have no impact while mandates keep growing. The time may have come for you to consider reviewing mandated activities that may have been fulfilled or overtaken by new developments. In this era of dramatic change and growing interconnectedness, the United Nations must meet ever higher standards of effectiveness and accountability. We are determined to make the most of your contributions, fulfill our mandates, and serve the world's people, counting on our staff. I wish you all a healthy and happy new year. I look forward to our working together and your support for our efforts to build a modern, effective 21st century United Nations. I thank you.
I thank Mishafta Cavani for her statement. Permit me now to make a closing statement. Excellencies, distinguished delegates, ladies and gentlemen, as the main part of the 68th session of the UN General Assembly comes to a close, I would like to begin my remarks by thanking each and every one of you. Your insights, engagement, and professionalism have kept this Assembly rich and active, I extend these thanks to all those in the Secretariat from the 38th floor and below, but particularly to DGACM, who have served the General Assembly and its committees so ably. The Vice Presidents have supported me throughout the session and helped me fulfill my duties when I was unable to do so, and the various chairs and the rapporteurs who have kept the session running smoothly. Together, these collective efforts enable you, the nations of the world, to voice your opinions and take action on issues that concern you and affect your populations. This in itself is no small achievement, as our United Nations Charter calls for harmonizing the actions of nations in the attainment of common ends. Excellencies, there are a number of impressive highlights for the 68th session. We opened a high-level week on 23rd of September, recognizing that we must make space for persons with disabilities in our development efforts. We also saw the inauguration of the High-Level Political Forum, which met under the auspices of the General Assembly and will subsequently meet under the auspices of ECOSOC in 2014. We adopted an outcome document that paves the way for a universal and shared post-2015 development agenda. And we held the first ever high-level meeting on nuclear disarmament, which produced a resolution designating 26 September as International Day for the Total Elimination of Nuclear Weapons. During the general debate, more than 110 heads of state and government shared their platforms with us, underlining the vibrancy and centrality of our assembly. We then proceeded with our agenda, and during the session, you adopted 259 resolutions and took 66 decisions. These resolutions covered a wide range of issues, from nuclear disarmament to the rule of law at the national and international levels, and from financing for development to the peaceful use of outer space. We also saw new resolutions introduced on the right to privacy and the safety of journalists, as well as a resolution designed to strengthen the ECOSOC. Today's conclusion of the work of the Fifth Committee again underscored the need to adapt, indeed revitalize, the methods of work of our General Assembly to fit the challenging times in which we live. As the work of our organization gets more challenging, so does its financial and administrative needs. We therefore need to ensure that the ways in which we deal with these challenges do evolve, and that the approaches of yesteryear also need to evolve if we are to have a fully functional organization. We do know a priori that in a budget year, adequate time will be needed to consider all aspects of what is now a fairly detailed and intricate UN budget. Perhaps then the time has come for us to look either at a dedicated session of the committee for this important process, or perhaps have the introduction of the budget at the outset of the work of the committee rather than in the latter part of October, as is the current practice. And maybe the time has come for us to move to a more broad-based introduction of electronic means for both the issuance and indeed the preliminary consideration of the documents of the committee, pending, of course, the latter availability of the actual paper versions of the relevant documents. I do hope you, the Member States, will consider these ideas in the sessions of the ad hoc working group on the revitalization of the work of the General Assembly when it meets next year. The 68th session also had some other noteworthy firsts. For the first time, Palestine was accorded the privileges of a state at the General Assembly, and it did cast its first vote in the General Assembly. Following an uncontested election for the Security Council, one member state chose to decline its seat, which was unprecedented in our the UN history. I greatly appreciate that member states were quickly able to come to an agreement to ensure that the seat will be filled as of January 1st, 2014. With that in mind, I would like to commend delegates for the resumption of the intergovernmental negotiations on Security Council reform. While this issue is no doubt a challenging one, we are determined to put forth our best effort in the coming months. Finally, we saw a moving tribute to Nelson Mandela in a special meeting of the UN General Assembly last week, during which 53 member states paid their tribute to one of the world's most revered peacemakers. As the main part of the session closes and we prepare for the holidays, let us be mindful that such peacemakers are sorely needed in this world. Reports of recent turmoil in our world, including in South Sudan and the Central African Republic, as well as the ongoing conflict in Syria, no doubt distresses us all. While responding to these upheavals does not primarily fall under the mandate of our assembly, they are very much a concern to every one of us and may at some point be brought to our collective attention. As a testimony to our collective commitment to advance global peace, I would also like to express my hopes that the Arms Trade Treaty, which was adopted during the 67th session, will enter into force during the 68th session of the General Assembly. Excellencies, as you all know, I propose the theme for the general debate of the 60th session as the post-2015 development agenda setting the stage. To this end, I announced that there would be 3 high-level events and 3 thematic debates. I am pleased that today I can share with you the proposed dates in 2014 for these events and or thematic debates. The first thematic debate on water, sanitation, and sustainable energy in the post-2015 development agenda will take place on the 18th and 19th of February 2014. The first high-level event on contributions of women, the young, and civil society to the post-2015 development agenda will take place on 6th and 7th March 2014 in advance of the 58th session of the Commission on the Status of Women. The second thematic debate on the role of partnerships and their contributions to the post-2015 development agenda will take place on the 8th and 9th of April 2014. The third thematic debate, ensuring peaceful and stable societies, will take place on the 24th and 25th of April 2014. The second high-level event, contributions of South-South, North-South, and Triangular Cooperation and Information and Communication Technologies for Development to the post-2015 development agenda will take place on 20th and 21st of May 2014. And the third and final high-level event, human rights and the rule of law in the post-2015 development agenda, will take place on the 17th and 18th of June 2014. Finally, to assess our progress and review outputs, including, we hope, those from the open-ended working group dealing with the Sustainable Development Goals and the expert group dealing with financing for sustainable development, we will convene a stock-taking event in early September. Specific information about the high-level events and thematic debates, including concept notes, will be available in early January on the website of the President of the General Assembly. I would like to thank all member states who have shared their ideas with me on these proposed events and thematic debates, and I look forward to your active engagement during the actual sessions. Ladies and gentlemen, there are a number of other such events which will take place during the remainder of the 68th session that merit our mention. One, a thematic debate to consider the role of culture and sustainable development in the elaboration of the post-2015 development agenda. Two, the launch of the International Year of Small Island Development States and the third International Conference on SIDS to be held in Samoa. Three, a high-level thematic debate on investment in Africa. Four, an interactive dialogue on the commemoration of International Mother Earth Day on 22nd April 2014 to advance discussions on harmony with nature and sustainable development. Five, a series of four one-day structured dialogues to consider possible arrangements for the facilitation mechanism to promote the development, transfer, and dissemination of clean and environmentally sound technologies. Six, a special meeting during the commemoration of the International Day for the Elimination of Racial Discrimination. Seven, the Human Rights Treaty Body Review, which will conclude in 2014. Eight, an informal interactive hearing in preparation for the World Conference on Indigenous Issues. And nine, the biennial review of the Global Counterterrorism Strategy. Our General Assembly will have a critical role in ensuring the success of other major conferences and events in the social, economic, and environmental fields which fall beyond our time frame. A few of these include the World Conference on Indigenous Peoples, the third UN Conference on Financing for Development, the International Decade for Peoples of African Descent, a comprehensive review and assessment of the progress achieved in the prevention and control of non-communicable diseases, and a special session of the General Assembly on the follow-up to the Program of Action of the International Conference on Population and Development beyond 2014, which will take place during the following year. We will also work to ensure that commitment and momentum is maintained towards the third World Conference on Disaster Reduction to take place in 2015 and the third United Nations Conference on Sustainable Urban Development to take place in 2016. As promised in my statement at the start of the session, we will also remain focused on UN reform next year. I look forward to the continuation of negotiations on Security Council reform in the early part of the year. Likewise, following a recent plenary debate on revitalization of the General Assembly, the work of the ad hoc working group will begin early in the new year in the form of four clusters. I look forward to a more in-depth deliberation on the various issues under the chairmanship of the co-chairs. On both issues, I expect your full cooperation and commitment to a vibrant and effective United Nations, which depends on all of us. Ladies and gentlemen, my team and I have very much enjoyed working with you over the last 3 months, and I look forward to seeing what we can accomplish during the next 9 months of my tenure. Let us continue to work hard so that we can look back on our time here with a sense of pride and accomplishment. To those who are about to leave us, and here I would like to mention Ambassador Joe Torsello of the United States and others, I do wish you all the best. To the rest of us, I wish you all the best for the remainder of 2013, and I look forward to working with you in 2014. Thank you very much. The State of Palestine.
شكرا سيد الرئيس لإعطاء الكلمة. أود بداية وبشكل سريع أن أنقل تقدير وفد دولة فلسطين لجهدكم وعملكم في ترأس أعمال الدورة 68 للجمعية العامة. لقد اعتمدت الجمعية العامة منذ قليل قرارات ومقررات هامة للغاية تطلبت جهد كبير من الجميع. وأود هنا وباسم دولة فلسطين أن أعرب أن أعرب عن عميق امتناننا وتقديرنا لسعادة السفير ياني طالس على قيادته الحكيمة والماهرة للجنة الخامسة وعلى جهوده القيمة في تقديم مشروع المقرر الخاص بمساهمة دولة فلسطين في الميزانية العادية للأمم المتحدة. كما نعرب عن شكرنا وتقديرنا للدول الأعضاء على دعمها وتأييدها لهذا المقرر واعتماده بالتوافق. كما نتقدم بالشكر والتقدير لمجموعة 77 والصين ورئاستها ولمجموعة الدول العربية على جهدهم ودعمهم. السيد الرئيس، يحذون الأمل أن تكون مساهمة دولة فلسطين في الميزانية العادية للأمم المتحدة خطوة إيجابية وحاسمة صوب حصولنا على العضوية الكاملة في الأمم المتحدة، ونتمنى تحقيق هذا الهدف في القريب العاجل وبدعم الجميع. وأخيرا، أتمنى أن يكون عام 2014 عام سعادة وسلام للجميع، وتحديدا شعبي الشعب الفلسطيني الذي يعمل ويتمنى أن يكون عام 2014 عام إنهاء الاحتلال الإسرائيلي وتحرير الأرض والإنسان واستقلال دولة فلسطين وعاصمتها القدس الشرقية. وشكرا لكم.
With regard to the program of work of the General Assembly, apart from organizational matters and items that may have been considered by operation of the rules of procedure of the Assembly, and bearing in mind that consideration and action have already been taken by the Assembly on a majority of items thus far, I should like to inform members that the following items on the agenda remain open for consideration during the 68th session of the General Assembly. Agenda items 9 to 16, 18, 19A, 19B, and H, 21D, 29 to 31, 33 to 36, 38, 39, 41 to 47, 53, 63A and B, 67B, 70A to D, 85, 111, 112, 114B, 115A, 115D, and 115E, 116G, 116H, and 116I, 117 to 126, 128, 129, 130 to 135, and 137 to 165. May I take it that the General Assembly wishes to take note of those items on the agenda that remain open for consideration during the 68th session of the General Assembly? It is so decided. On that very pleasant note, the meeting is adjourned. Happy holidays.